Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Kuf Ches Omed Aleph, we notice in the outside margin a nosei, a topic heading. In our Gemara markings, our Shas Ozer, we attempt to provide topic headings and structural notes as every new sugya appears. In the outside margin here, we've recorded under the nosei topic heading, Rav Sheshes Yoshev Betainis Kol Erev Pesach. Rav Sheshes fasted. He didn't eat at all on Erev Pesach. Ha Gemara Tevarer Loma Nohag Hochi. The Gemara will attempt to clarify why he behaved thusly. We will see a mivne, a structural note, with a double underline featured. These double underlines are one of our series markings, and in this case it represents shnei chalokim shel hasheila, two parts of the Gemara's question, nemo kosovar. In order to understand Shitas Rav Sheshes's approach, the Gemara will open up with a suggestion that in order to understand the suggestion, one has to see two parts, two halachas. So now, as we turn our attention to the Gemara, which opens up five lines from the top, the name Rav Sheshes is underlined. Rav Sheshes havi Yosef betaniso kol mali yom depischa. Rav Sheshes fasted every Erev Pesach. We should bear in mind that we're continuing, of course, previous discussions in the Gemara that concerned the idea of not eating Erev Pesach from somewhere in the later part of the day, on the 14th of Nisan, with the general idea that one should be have a desire for the eating of matzah during the Seder night, during the Leil Pesach. We've also encountered other suggestions along the way, some ideas, and we'll be recounting some of them right now. In fact, in our previous shiur, we saw an idea on Daf Kuf Zayin Omer Aleph at the very bottom line, that in trying to understand the Mishnah that said that Arvei Psochim Samuch Lemincha Lo Yochal, one of the suggested time periods was from around noon time. A person should already start eating, and the suggestion that the Gemara raised was that if one were to start eating from noontime, he might be drawn into a meal, into a long meal, and end up not doing the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach's time was to be offered in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan. And therefore, if one would begin a meal at noontime, he would end up possibly forgetting to do the Korban Pesach. So that particular approach was an approach that wasn't necessarily matzah desire oriented, as most of the sugyas have indicated, but rather it was because of a Korban Pesach consideration. In this sugya, we're seeing Rav Sheshes didn't eat at all the whole day, the whole daytime hours of Erev Pesach. From the morning already, he stopped eating. The Gemara will raise as a possibility that maybe what preoccupied Rav Sheshes was a twofold consideration. Number one, that Rav Sheshes learned our Mishnah that the non-eating of Erev Pesach was in fact Korban Pesach related. Namely, if one starts eating, one will get drawn into the meal and end up forgetting the Korban Pesach. So that it's, for the sake of simplicity, we'll say that the non-eating of Erev Pesach, according to Rav Sheshes, may have been Korban Pesach related. Well, that can explain not eating in the afternoon hours. What about the fact that Rav Sheshes didn't eat in the morning hours? So for this, we introduce a second element. That second element is a shita, an opinion in Tanoim that says that the time for the Korban Pesach was in fact all the daytime, the daylight hours of Pesach, of Erev Pesach, of the 14th. The Korban Pesach was to be offered, or could have been offered, during the entire daytime hours of Erev Pesach, of the 14th of Nisan. This opinion is the opinion of Ben Becerra. How does Ben Becerra learn the pasuk in the Torah that deals with the time of the Korban Pesach? Well, the pasuk says it's to be offered Bein Ho'arbayim. Generally speaking, that expression means during the afternoon. However, according to Ben Becerra, Bein Ho'arbayim means between two nights. Erev being nights and Arbayim being the plural. So, the time between two nights. Well, what's the time between two nights? The daytime. In other words, the daytime hours from the morning of the 14th of Nisan till the setting of the sun of the 14th of Nisan would have been appropriate times for the offering of the Korban Pesach. So now, Rav Sheshes can be understood, according to the Gemara's suggestion, that the reason he sat in fasting all Erev Pesach was a Korban Pesach consideration. And if the Korban Pesach offering time was in fact all day, therefore one is not to eat all day of Pesach, Erev Pesach. Of course, until one were to offer the Korban Pesach itself, because of this fear of getting absorbed into the eating and end up forgetting to do the Korban Pesach. This is all part of a long question. It's a suggestion. Should we say that this is the explanation for Rav Sheshes? That's captured by a long question marking that you see in the Gemara. You see a shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, followed by a vertical dashed line, indicating that the length of the question extends in the Gemara, all the lines of the Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line. The Gemara afterwards will respond that this is not the real explanation of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, the Gemara will answer later, was different than most people in that he was a very was a delicate or a fine individual. It's called a istinus in the Lashon of the Gemara, and that any small amount of food, even that which he would eat in the morning, would already ruin his evening appetite. So therefore, really, Rav Sheshes was a matzah consideration, not a Korban Pesach consideration, and hence he refrained from eating from the morning hours so as to ensure that he would have a matzah appetite for the evening. Now, having said the Gemara outside of the text, let's go into it. The beginning of the long question. Neimo kosava Rav Sheshes, somuch lemincha gedoylo tnan. Should we say that Rav Sheshes learns our Mishnah, the beginning of this perek that said Arvei Pesachim lo yochal odom samuch lemincha, means samuch lemincha gedoyla, which would mean a half hour before 12:30, from noon, let us say, umishum pischahu, and the non-eating is a Korban Pesach related issue, dilma mimshich v'osi lemnuye mileva pischahu, that he may be drawn into the meal and thereby refrain from doing the Korban Pesach. And another point, the Savar Lo and Rav Sheshes, in his non-eating all day of Erev Pesach, including the morning, holds the Savar Lo, ki hod yom Rav Hoshaya, omer Rav Elazar, that he holds like Rav Hoshaya's teaching, that hell that says, mach shirhoi ben besera bepesach sheshach dov shachris, ba'arbosor lishmoi, that Ben Becerra would have viewed as acceptable a Korban Pesach that's slaughtered in the morning hours of the 14th with a Pesach intention. Lishmo means with a Korban Pesach intention. He would have viewed it as an acceptable Korban Pesach. Umitzafrozman pischahu, from the morning already is the zman of offering the korban pesach. The kuliyah mechazi lepischa, the whole day, all of the daytime hours are fit for the offering of the korban pesach. The savar beinu arbayim, he being of the opinion that the words of the Torah that say beinu arbayim, which is the time for the slaughtering, the processing of the korban pesach, the offering of that particular korban, equals bein erev di esmoil erev do idna, is the time period between the evening or night time hours of yesterday and the night time hours of that are of now, meaning that will come tonight. Meaning that the Korban Pesach time, the acceptable time, is all of the daytime hours, the daylight hours of the 14th. With all that having been said, maybe that's the reason for Rav Sheshis is not eating all day Erev Pesach. The Gemara says, no, Amri is an expression, a response, loy, not so. Rav Sheshes, de istinis have, Rav Sheshes, who happened to be a frail or delicate individual, sensitive individual, de itoyim betzafra midi, if he would have eaten anything in the morning, le'urtelo have mahani le michla, in the evening, there would have been no benefit for him to have eaten. Meaning, in other words, he would have had no appetite for the matzah in the evening. The Rashbam says, "V'itoyim midi betzafra lo motzi lemeichal matzah leteovon leurta." He would have no desire for the matzah in the evening. Continuing in the Gemara, "V'afilu oni shib Yisrael lo yochal ad shiyosev." That the Mishnah pointed out that even the poor man is not to eat on Pesach night until he reclines. The sukkah here is featured with a new topic heading and structural note. The Gemara itself will feature diamonds, as you can see in the Gemara text. These are explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. Ma boi heseba uma lo. What items require reclining and what does not? Let us turn to the Gemara. Itmar, matzah tzorech hesebo, moror ein tzorech hesebo. Matzah requires reclining while eating it, and the moror does not. As we continue in the Gemara, we have another diamond featuring the yayin, and in the note, in the let's say in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you see the word yayin encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating a length marker. There's a little star, also drawing your attention to the outside margin, a little note there, Birur Dine Hasava B'yayin, the clarification of halachas requiring leaning for wine drinking, Ma'asik occupies Es HaGemara Kol Shiros Ha'elu Kefi Shemesumon, as will occupy the Gemara all of these lines, as is indicated by the marker. Turning now to the Gemara, Yayin, Itmar Mishmei de Rav Nachmon, Tzorech Hesebo, it was said in the name of Rav Nachmon that the drinking of the wine requires reclining, Itmar Mishmei de Rav Nachmon, Ein Tzorech Hesebo, and others have said in his name that it does not require reclining. Notice with the markings we've dashed underlined the expression Tzorech, which means you need to recline, and the under that, the expression we just read, Ein Tzorech, which would appear to be a contradiction. The Gemara is quick to point out, though, Velo Pligi, there is no contradiction or argument between these two versions. Ha Batarti Kosi Kamoi, Ha Batarti Kosi Basroi. One statement refers to the first two cups of wine. As you know, the Seder has four cups of wine, two before the meal and two after the meal, so to speak. When I say so to speak, we're simply using the meal as a reference point. However, the two expressions are not contradictory. Two being one of the halachas referring to the two before, and one of the halachas referring to ha betarti kosi basroi, the two last cups. Amri lo lahaygisa, the amri lo lahaygisa. As far as which halacha applies to which two cups, there are those that say this way, and there are those that say that way. And as the Gemara goes on, you can see we've broken it down, the two opinions, with Roman numeral 1, and following that a few lines later, Roman numeral number 2. Amri lo lahagisa. There are some that say in this direction, this way. Tre kosi kamoi bo haseba. The first two cups require reclining. Dahashtahu de komischalo lo cherus. The beginning of the Seder represents the beginning of the freedom of the Jews in leaving Mitzrayim, and it should be pointed out, by the way, that one is expected to view himself on the Seder night as if he himself is leaving Mitzrayim right now, not as a mere historical event, but as a personal event. So that the Gemara says that during the first two cups, one is starting the freedom from Mitzrayim. Tre kosi basroi, the final two cups, after the Haggadah has been recited and the matzahs have been eaten, the last two cups, lo bo hasebo, they don't require any further reclining. Reclining being a sign of freedom, because my dahave have, the issue of becoming free is now a matter of the past. We have already achieved the freedom. Therefore, there's no requirement for reclining during the last two cups. But when we say this, we mean that the whole Pesach Haggadah story has already been recited. We've eaten the matzahs and finished the meal. So we're now already free men. So that which has taken place. There's no longer any need to demonstrate the freedom. The Amri law lahai gisa. The other opinion says to the other direction. Adaraba, to the contrary. Tre kosi basroi bo haseba. The last two cups require reclining. Hahi shaito de kohav yocherus. Because now we are free. We are totally free when we reach that point in the Seder that's after the Haggadah. Tre kosi kamoi lo bo haseba. The first two cups don't require haseba. Da kati avodim hoyinu ko'omar. Because at that point in the Seder, we're still in the midst of reciting the passages indicating that we were enslaved to Paro, noticing or celebrating, or let's say commemorating, more accurately, commemorating our enslavement. And the freedom is not really reached, or doesn't reach a climax, until after the Haggadah has been recited. And that point is reached only when you speak about the final two cups, and therefore that would be the appropriate time for reclining. So at this point, hashtadit marhochi vit marhochi, now at this point that we've said this way and that way, in other words, we've offered logic and reasoning for reclining both at the first two cups, and also logic for the last two cups, even though the two points of logic are coming from two opposite vantage points. Idi v'idi bo haseba, on a practical level, the Gemara says that we should recline for both the beginning two cups and the final two cups. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice some new geometric forms under our Nosei Mivne heading. The next two forms are house markings. The house markings are Be'eze Tzura Mesivin. The note on the outside margin explains the position that one is to be in while reclining. And we'll see triangles that appear a little bit later. Umi Boi L'Hosef, who is required to practice reclining. So the Gemara goes on. Prakadon Lo Shmei Hasebo. Prakadon is a position whereby one is lying on his back. So that would be a non-fulfillment of Haseba. The explanation we're offering is based on the Rashbam, who says Prakadon Ponov Ubitno Klape Malo, Veshochev Ala Chorov, he's lying on his back. The Tosfos also says Prakadon Ponov Lamalo, and he rejects another opinion that appears elsewhere. Velo kimeforesh, and not like the ones who explain ponov lamata. Dein derech lecho beinyan zeh. The Tosfos says that it's not style. It's no. There's no one who would practice eating that in that position. And he points out the chein mashma b'moshra sosvino in maseches bava basra. It is mashma that the meisei midbar degonu aparkit, referring to a special an agoda, an amazing event where Rabba Bar Bar Chana encounters the
many, many years later, he encounters those that died in the Midbar during the exodus from Mitzrayim, and there he encounters them lying on their backs. He also parsha tusi kare kedinoket rum chabiyade, and in that they were featured as very large people, whereby someone was able to ride a camel under the bent knee of them while the rider was holding a spear in his hands. Of course, that's quite a piece of agoda. For right now, we're not going to get into that, but the reason we're citing this is because the reason Tosfos cites this is to indicate that they were goni aparkid. Parkid is prakidon, and their legs were bent with their knees up in the air, indicating they were lying on their backs. So we continue in the Gemara after having ruled out prakadon as a method of hasava, continuing hasebas yamin lo shmo haseba, while leaning on one's right side, that would not be haseba velo od elo shemo yaktim kona leveshet v'yavol lidei sakona. Eating in a position while leaning on one's right could actually lead to a dangerous situation, because the tubes that are in one's throat might change position, and that could cause some danger. Now, turning to the types of people who is required and who not to do haseba. Isha Eitzel Bailo, a married woman who's eating in the presence of her husband, Lo Bayo Haseba. She does not require Haseba, the feeling being that she is under the control, so to speak. She has a sense of fear, moderated, of course. We're not talking about something extreme here, but she is under the authority of her husband, and hence she is not what we call someone who celebrates freedom in the fullest sense. However, v'imisha chashuvahi, if she is a woman of importance and significance, then tzricha haseba. It's interesting, there are certain opinions that you find in halacha that follow the time of the Gemara that says that bizman hazeh, all of our noshim are chashuvas. And if that be the case, so then tzricha haseba. Ben Eitzel Aviv, a son by his father, Boy Haseba. He does require reclining. And the Rashbam points out an interesting contrast here, that the level of a son's subordination to his father is less than that of one's wife to her husband. And hence, he's not as subordinate to the father, and therefore, he does practice haseba, which is a sign and indication of freedom. Ibayaloho, the question is raised, Talmud Eitzel Raboimai, what about a student by his teacher of Torah? Toshma, Diomar Abaye, Abaye tells us, he relates two incidents. One is Kiavinon Bei Mor, when we were learning by Mor, when Abaye speaks as a reference to Rabo Bar Nachmeni. He says, when we were by him, Zaginon, we leaned, Abirki Dadodi, each one on his friend's knees. In other words, they would lean one on the other, practicing Hesebo in front of their Rav. Ki asinon lebei Rav Yosef, when Rabo passed away, the students transferred and to learn by Rav Yosef, who succeeded Rabo in the position of Rosh Yeshiva. So Abaye tells us, Omar Lon, Rav Yosef instructed us, Lo tzarichisu, you do not require Hesebo in my presence. Moira Rabcho kemoira Shemayim, the fear that one has for his teacher of Torah is similar to the fear that one is supposed to have of the Almighty. And that's based on a pasuk that says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. And the word Es in that pasuk comes to include Talmidei Chachamim in this issue of Yira. Meisvei, the Gemara raises Akasha, Im Hakol Odom Meisev Afilu Talmud Eitzel Rabo. In the presence of everyone, a person is expected to recline, even a student in the presence of his teacher, which is counter to Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef explains that the source that was just cited is not talking about a Torah teacher, Kitanyo Ahi Beshulio Denagri. That's talking about a carpenter's apprentice. A Shulio is an apprentice of a Nagri, of a Nagor, a carpenter. So the carpenter is also called Rabo, but he's not a Torah teacher. And therefore, he doesn't come under the Pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro, which is Marbe Talmidei Chachomim. Ibaya Laho, the question is raised, Shamosh Mai, what about the waiter, the person serving the people at the Seder? Does he require Heseba? Before we go further in the Gemara, we will encounter a new geometric form, a bow tie, which is featured on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. We will see Memros Shel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So, as far as the Shamosh is concerned, Toshma, the Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, HaShamosh She'ochal Kezayis Matzah Kishu Mesiv Yotza. The Shamosh, who is quite busy during the Seder night serving the people, as long as he ate a kezayis of matzah while reclining, that is sufficient. He's yotze. He fulfills his requirements. However, what do we see clearly? Mesiv in, lo mesiv lo. Mesiv in, it means yes. If he's mesiv, he fulfills. If he doesn't recline, he does not fulfill. Shma mino boy hasebo. Shma mino. From here, we see that the shamash does require hasebo. As we go on in the Gemara, we turn our attention to the topic of the four cups of wine. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayovois Ba'arbo Koisois Halolu, women are obligated to drink the four cups of wine of the Seder night. She'af Hein Hoyu Ba'oisoi Hanes. They too were involved in the miracle of Purim, of Pesach. The slip over there of Purim is actually not such a bad mistake, because that's also an explanation for women being involved with Mikra Megillah. The Rashbam points out, Shav hein hoyu ba'osanes, domer maseches soita, b'schar noshim tzidkonios, shehoyu ba'oiso hador, nigalu. In the merit of the pious women of the generation of enslavement, they, the Jewish people, merited their redemption. So the women are a central feature in the redemption, and hence they have to participate in the celebration of that redemption, which includes the four koseis. The Chen Gabi Mikra Megillah, the Rashbam continues. So too with regard to the requirement of hearing the Megillah reading. Omar Hochi, the same expression of Shavhein Hois Benes appears, Mishum Da'al Yidei Esther Havi. It was through Esther the miracle took place, V'chein Gabi Chanukah M'masech Shabbos. And so too with regard to Chanukah, a woman was a central aspect of the miracle. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Bihuda, Amar Shmuel, Arba Koises Halalu Tzorach Shehe Bohen Kedei Mezigas Kois Yofe. The Gemara from here till the end of the Omid will be dealing with the issue, the general topic of quantity, amount of wine. Shmuel tells us, and we're going to be adopting the explanation of Rashi in this particular sukya. As far as the quantities are concerned, there may be other approaches, but for our purposes, we'll be sticking to the pshat of Rashi. So Shmuel tells us that the four koises have to have a quantity called kedei mezigas kois yofe. This amount is a rova revius, a quarter of a revius. We might point out that there's a liquid measure known as a lug. A lug contains within it four revi'iyos. So a revius is a quarter of a lug. The amount referred to right now is a rova revius, a quarter of a revius. Or maybe we can refer to it as a sixteenth as a lug. At this point in the Gemara, and this will be subject to change, the havamina is, the thought is that this shiur of rova revius is the amount of all four cups together. We have a bracketed section. The bracket, after the bracketed section, there's a mesve. This mesve is a kasha, is directed on the comment of Shmuel that we just heard. So let us skip the bracketed section momentarily, and the length of the bracketed section is indicated by the bracket length indicator that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a vertical dashed dotted line, which is characteristic in our marking system of a bracketed section. So you notice after the bracketed section, the word mesve toward the end of the line, there's a Tanaic source. In that Tanaic source, you see a dashed underlined expression, kedei revius. After the Tanaic source, which is in a frame, you see the Gemara says, Katoni Mihas, it says, however, in this source, which contains quite a bit of other information, but we are trying to focus the question, and it says in the source, Kedei Revius, the thought being that the Shiur for the four Kosos altogether is a Revius, not a Rova Revius, and hence this presents a problem for Shmuel. The Gemara will answer after that, the line beginning with the word Amri, which is two lines after the frame section. The Gemara answers, we can read this now, just to give an introduction. Amri Idi V'Idi, Chad Shi'urahu. Both the Tanaic source and Shmuel, they represent one in the same. They are not contradicting each other. Mai Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofi Deka Omar. The Shi'ur, the quantity that Shmuel referred to, that of Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofi, that means L'chol Chad V'Chad. It's not, as we thought, a Shi'ur of all four together, but it's the shiur, the quantity for each cup. So if a rova revius is the shiur for each cup, a rova being a quarter of a revius, tahavi luhu kulhu revius. If you add all four together, you get a grand total of a revius. And that was the shiur that was reflected in the Tanaic source. So what we've seen so far is we saw Shmuel's halacha, his quantity for wine, which was Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofi. We thought that that was problematic insofar as that it ran up against information contained in a Tanaic source, and we saw the answer that one is referring to the individual cups, that Shmuel, and the information in the Tanaic source was the sum total of all four. Turning now to the Gemara, reading it straight through, after Shmuel says that the four cups must have a Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofi quantity. Notice, by the way, we didn't translate the expression because for our purposes we want to keep things as streamlined and straightforward as possible, simply to view the expression Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofi, which we have in singular quotation marks, to view it as a phrase and simply interpret that as a quantity. Continuing on the third line from the top of Kuf Ches Omet Beis, the bracketed section, Shoson Chai Yotza, you notice a little one, there are 2 points, there are actually 3 points that are reflected, and the Gemara itself will explain each one of the points as you continue in the Gemara, and you can see that as you scan ahead, you see double underlined expressions also numbered off. Each one of them is an elaboration on the 3 points that are introduced right now. So let us see the points and the elaboration. Number one, Shason Chai, Yosef, one drinks the Arba Kosos undiluted. Undiluted wine was actually rather strong, but it says here in the Gemara that he fulfills his requirement. Shason Bevas Achas Yotza, if he drank them in one shot. Now, what does that mean in one shot? So the Rashbam has two explanations as far as what that means. One explanation is that the four cups of wine are poured into one cup. The Rashbam has a different approach that he prefers, and that the Bavas Achas means he drank four separate cups of wine, but one right after the other, and not al seder of the not lefi the seder, not lefi the order that is practiced on the seder night, where the first cup is kiddush, the second cup is drunk quite a bit later at the end of the Haggadah recitation, the third cup being drunk after the entire meal as part of the Birchas Hamazon, and the fourth cup being drunk as part of the Hallel recitation at the end of the Haggadah. So our Gemara tells us that in the second point, Shoson Bevas Achas Yotza, if he drinks them using the Rashbam's accepted pshat, is he drinks them one right after the other. 3. Hishko mehen levonov ulevnei beiso yotza. That situation is where someone gives from each cup to members of the family a bit to drink, meaning he doesn't drink the entire cup himself. The individual in question doesn't drink it himself, but shares it with someone else. The Gemara tells us that this in this case, number 3, he is Yotze. At this point, you see we have a little colon indicating that we are now going to go over that which we already said. Shason Chai Yotza, Omar Rava, Yidei Yayin Yotza. He's fulfilled his Yayin requirement, meaning he drank 4 cups. However, Yidei Cherus Lo Yotza. The Rashbam explains that Yidei Cherus, on a translation level, means the sense of freedom he hasn't fulfilled. The Rashbam explains that by drinking undiluted wine, since it's not the most desirable way in which to drink it, as we said, it's very strong, so he's not fulfilling the mitzvah in the fullest and the most proper way. Hence, this term, Ein lo yedei cheris liyotza, he's not fulfilling his mitzvah b'shlemus in a complete way. It's lacking. Number 2, Shoson bevas achas, Rav Omar Yedei Yayin Yotza, Yedei Arba Kaisois Lo Yotza. In order to appreciate this, let us glance at the Rashbam. Yedei Yayin Yotza, the Rashbam says, we've provided a singular star in the Rashbam in order to be able to find this a little faster in the wide lines. Mishum Simchas Yom Tov, he has fulfilled his Simchas Yom Tov, Kidesani Lekamon, the Gemara teaches later on, V'somachta B'chagecho, that one is expected to experience joy during the holiday, B'mame Samcho, B'yayin, the Gemara points out that B'zman Hazeh, one fulfills Simcha on holidays through the drinking of wine. So, he drank wine, however, Avol Yedei, the Rashbam goes on, you can see we have a double star in the Rashbam to help you find this. It's right after that the point we just read. Avol yidei arba koisis lo yotza v'kulon chashuvin kois rishon v'lo yoser. Drinking one right after the other is considered basically drinking one cup. In fact, we saw earlier in the perek a reference to the halacha that one is allowed to drink between the first and second cup as many cups as he likes, and they don't count as additional cups. So the multiple cups that he drinks one right after the other is only viewed as the first cup. And he has to bring, the Rashbam says, another 3 cups of wine and drink them at their appropriate times, in their proper order and location with regard to the Seder. That's what this expression, Yedei Arba Koisois Lo Yotza, means. And you can see with our markings, we've also squiggle underlined the Lo so as to emphasize the contrast that here, regarding this halacha, he hasn't been Yotze, whereas regarding the Simchas Yom Tov aspect, which was called Aleph at the beginning of the line, that aspect he did fulfill. Number 3, Hishka Mehen Levonov Nevesu Yotza, he gave from each cup a bit of it to members of his family to drink as well. He has fulfilled his requirement. Omar of Nachmar Yitzhak Vuhuda Ishti Ruba de Kosa. This is fine, provided the person himself drank the majority of the cup of wine. The Tosis points out, Ruba de Kosa Hainu Kimeloi Lugmov. A cheekful, the Tosfos points out that Malo Lugmov is a shear, is a quantity, a cheekful, which one fulfills his requirement with that, but the best way to fulfill the mitzvah is by drinking a complete revius quantity. We continue in the Gemara. As you can see, as we mentioned earlier, the brackets closes here. Drawing our attention to the fact that Meisvei is a source. This Gemara introduces here a source as a question on something mentioned earlier, namely on Shmuel's point. We also have a long question marking indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You can see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines form the question. Meisvei, the following Tanaic source. Arba Kaisis Halalu, Tzorach Shie Bohen Kedei Revius. The four cups of the Seder night have to have a quantity of a Revius. And we're going to interpret like we did before. It means the sum total of the four cups is a Revius. And we've noted between the lines that this is against Shmuel. Shmuel said that it's, according to our initial understanding, is that the cups of wine have to have a quantity of Kedei Mezigas Kos Yafa, which was a Rova Revius, actually one quarter of this. Echod Chai, whether it be undiluted, the Echod Mazug, or diluted, Echod Chadosh, whether it be new wine, the Echod Yashan, aged wine. All of these are suitable for Arba Kaisis. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Tzorch She, Bo, Tam, Umare, Yayin. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to have the taste of wine, and the Meforshim explained that's to the exclusion of new wine. In other words, if it hasn't been aged and fermented, so Rabbi Yehuda doesn't approve of it. Umara Yayin means it must be red. Leaving all of the details of the source aside, concentrating just on the dashed underline expression, the Gemara itself does that for you, Kotoni Mihas, Kedei Revius. The expression katoni mias is found in many, many sugyas, where the Gemara wants to extract from the source that may have contained many pieces of information, it wants to extract the main source, it wants to pinpoint the point of difficulty. And we do that with our markings, using dashed underlines. The Gemara itself does it with these words. So the Gemara points out that it said in this source, Kedei Revius, that the quantity of the Arba Kosis is that, the At Amris, and you, Shmuel, said, Kos Yofe being a quarter of a Revius. Amri, the Gemara answers, Idi v'idi chad shi'urahu, my Kedei mezigas Kos Yofe deka omar, l'chol chad v'chad davi luhu kulhu Revius. The Gemara says that both Shiurim, Edi v'Edi, both Shmuel and the Braisa represent the same quantity. Very simply, Shmuel was focusing in on the individual cup. And the Kedei Mezigas Kos Yafa that Shmuel had said is a reference to the Cholchad V'chad, a reference to each cup individually. The Havalu Kulhu reveals that the sum total of a Kedei Mezigas Kos, when multiplied four times, you get to a Revius, which is the quantity referred to in the source. At this point, we have a quote from the same source, and you can see we've also provided a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Parallel it with the arrow you see higher up. You can see where this line is coming from. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tzorch Shehei Bo Tam Umare, that the wine has to have the wine taste and the wine look. The Gemara will be focusing on the appearance aspect. Omar Rava, my time of Rabbi Yehuda, what is the reason for Rabbi Yehuda's concern for the mar'eh, for the red look of the wine? So the answer to that is based on a pasuk, Dichtiv, Al Tere Yayin Ki Yis Adom. In this pasuk you have the word Yayin and the word Yis Adom, which is Adom. Hence, the color of wine is associated with redness. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.